Welcome to Ed the Sock Lives. Anthony is here with me, Anthony Howell. Hello, Anthony.
How's it going?
I guess we should start calling you like a co-host by now. You should. By now, we've done enough episodes that you've gone from being a bystander to being a part of the show. Well, you were kind of a part of the show the first time you were on. That's why you were on a second time.
Well, you know what? It feels good. I feel like I'm moving up in the world. I've now gone from guest co-host to full-time fly on the wall. That's fantastic.
Now, that's the thing. When you can't give anybody a raise, give them another title.
That's right.
So there you go.
My self-esteem has been patched up again. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. I have a self-esteem patch kit just for that. Yeah. Yeah. You get it from that As Seen on TV store in the mall. All right. Anyway, I don't even know where the hell got that connection from. All right. So we're going to talk about things today. We're going to talk about Lady Gaga's dogs. We're going to talk about the Dr. Seuss Limited dropping six of their titles because they're racist as hell.
Really?
We're going to talk about your discovery about your exercise program, which I could have told you. And we're going to talk about, I guess, and maybe the Britney documentary and the Tiger Woods documentary, if we have time.
Okay.
All right. So here's the thing that drives me crazy, though. Today, I decided it was a nice day. It looked like spring. I decided it's time to take my car in to get it, get all the lube oil filter. And it's not a euphemism. That's what I actually wanted done.
I took
it to a lube place.
Okay.
Lube
place?
Why does it always sound filthy?
I don't know. I think
you use the word lube, it just automatically the mind goes to somewhere filthy. Like I went to a lube place.
I needed a
lube. Did it have a happy ending?
Well, it's so often associated with a job. I need a lube job. Right?
Well, and that sounds dirty too.
Yeah.
Even though it's actually a thing for your car.
What if you sandwich it between oil and filter? Like oil, lube, and filter. It doesn't really sound as filthy.
It doesn't sound as bad. Yeah, that threesome is okay.
That threesome where lube is sandwiched in the middle is always a good time.
All right. So it wasn't a good time because, you go there, you have in mind how much money it's going to cost you. And
based on figures from how many years ago? When is the last time you got an oil, lube, and filter?
About 18 months ago.
Okay. That's not too bad.
That's not that dated.
You're not using 1995 prices. You're using...
No, I'm using relatively recent prices. But even then, it cost me more than I thought it was going to. And today, cost me $700.
Whoa.
$700.
Did they see you coming? Holy.
Well, here's the thing. They present you with what needs to be done. Mm. And you can't argue with them that it needs to be done. What am I supposed to say? No, the spark plug you're showing me that is showing that it's worn out. No, don't replace it. Like, and if they replace one, they got to replace all four, apparently.
I don't know about that.
They changed the filters in the car because the filters needed cleaning. What am I supposed to say? Don't change them. Everything they went through, every service that was required for the car, I couldn't argue that the car needed it. But it just added up.
Oh, man. How did you get to 700? Did they put new tires on? Holy.
No, they did. You know what?
You might have got.
You want me to read you the damn receipt for crying out loud?
Why do we have time?
I can do whatever the hell I want.
Go for it. I'd like to hear.
Let me open up the invoice and see. Let's see what they charged me for.
What you got fleeced for this afternoon. Holy shit.
All right. Let's see. All right, clean flow engine flush, a standard package. Hello, lube place. I'd like your standard package, please.
Generally, a standard package doesn't require much lube, does it?
Well, depends where you're putting it. There's a recycling fee, shop supplies, those are nothing. Courtesy check is free. Because it's courtesy.
Well, there you go.
Where's the big money? Tire pressure is. I don't know what that means. It says tire pressure is, and it has an arrow that they're supposed to maybe fill in, and they didn't. Where did it all come from? I'm looking at this thing, transmission service. All right, ooh, that's significant.
That seems like it would be significant.
$150.
Okay.
The more I'm looking at this, the more I'm wondering how they did the math. I got the DuraShield undercoating because there was some rust underneath the car.
Oh, boy.
So I got that. I looked it up before they did it to see if this was a scam. But okay, it turns out it's not a scam.
Yeah.
And the other stuff, like $79.99 for a cabin air filter. For an air filter.
Cabin air filter.
Wow. It's for the car, the filter that filters the air in the where you sit.
Right.
You know, it like.
And how long, sorry, is this a car owned?
Yeah, well, no, I leased the car and I spent $700 to get it serviced.
All right, well, I don't know. It seems like that's a lot. Maybe it seems like maybe you got tricked, but I don't know. These oil lubricant filter plates, you let them go, they'll have a field day. If I was you, I would have said, okay, tell me what needs to be done. And then I would have gone home and I would have went on YouTube and then I would have looked up, there's a guy, Scotty Kilmer, who does how-to car repair videos and all this kind of stuff. Big name in the, I guess.
I don't do it myself for cars. Well, there's no, but then you could. I don't do cars and plumbing and electrical.
What he's going to tell you though, is he's going to tell you what's a scam, what you can get away with, what might be.
Well, they showed me the filters. Okay. The filters were filthy. They needed to be changed.
Certainly.
They showed me the spark plugs, showed me that they were worn out. They showed me pictures of the rust underneath the car.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And yeah, there was rust. You drive a car in northern climes, you know, in Canada, you're going to get rust.
Yeah.
The transmission service was needed. They changed transmission oil.
Why did you notice that your transmission was knocking or it was having trouble shifting or anything like that? Was the car running in such a way where you're like, oh, I should get this checked out?
No.
Okay. So they're probably going to sell it as preventative maintenance then.
Well, they said that it needed changing, and how can I argue with them? That's the thing. Where am I qualified to argue with them? And they make it sound like it's necessary, and you don't want to be the one driving your car and have the transmission seize up because you didn't want to spend $150. Now you're going to spend money for a whole new car. You know, it's like insurance. It just preys upon your worries.
Well, yes, they go after the fearful and the ignorant, not saying that that you're fearful and ignorant, but they definitely.
By the way, I saw my, I'll let that pass. I saw, I saw my, my first douchebag of spring.
Oh, really? Guy in shorts?
Guy behind me in a car, heavily tinted windows, driving an old model BMW, blasting his music so that the bass was shaking my car. And of course, white guy, hat backwards.
Oh, was he wearing like the Oakley Blade type sunglasses?
No, he didn't have the sunglasses. He wasn't complete.
Was he wearing did he have a convertible? Was it a convertible?
No, not a convertible. Ooh, no, okay, most douchebags don't have convertibles because they can't afford them. They spend all their money on old model cars that have, labels like BMW. Or yeah, things fancy. Like that.
Because they want the brand recognition, but they can't afford the new good stuff. So they go with the 15, 20 year old money pit garbagey ones.
Yeah, and that's part of what makes them douchebags. But there he was,
big part of it,
yeah. Shaking my car. It's like the first Robin of the summer, of the spring, first douchebag of the spring. There will be more, but I saw my first one. Anyway. Well, I heard about nothing of any interest. What do you want to say?
You know what I heard? I mean, as a sign of spring, I mean, unfortunately for you, it was in the form of a heavy bass kind of douchey BMW driver. But I heard my first, cheeseburger finch. You know those ones? They go,
what?
They said their call is like, sounds like cheeseburger. It was like a classic Trailer Park Boys thing. Remember that?
Never watched Trailer Park Boys.
So there's this, I don't know, there's one intro to an episode from a while ago, and there's this one character, Randy,
I don't care.
Obsessed with cheeseburgers, and he hears the bird.
We're wasting time. I don't care about this explanation.
Anyways.
It's done.
Who know what I'm talking about.
No, yeah, those who know. Those who don't know don't need to know. All right, because we bored them enough with my car worries. But the car runs real well now.
Smooth?
Yeah, the car runs real well. It better damn well run well for $700.
I would hope so. I mean, don't go in for this next year. It sounds like the kind of thing where you got to do it once in a while and then you just leave it until the next time.
Well, I was supposed to go in after 100,000 clicks and I didn't go in after 100,000 clicks. I went 100.
So have you ever had any of this stuff done to it before?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But my car has more than 100,000 clicks on it. And so I was supposed to go in and get it done, and I didn't. And I got another couple hundred clicks over that 1,000. So it's kind of like cumulative what I would have spent per year.
Yeah, you break it down maintained. Like that. So you knew it was coming. You just didn't think it was going to be
today. I was thinking maybe 200, 400 bucks. No.
Right. No. It sounds like I think transmission people, work and undercoating generally tend to be pretty expensive.
The point of this whole waste of time is other people out there, if you're thinking of going and getting a spring tune-up, read up before you go on known scams from garages and lube places. Read up so you don't wind up getting there and looking dumbfounded when they tell you that the bistuplicator needs to get replaced. And you don't even have the first ability to form a question about the bistuplicator. Yeah, don't get it up.
If your bistupulator is undercorked, just tell them, you know what, I think I'm okay with that. That's
you know where the bistuplicator came from? Years ago, my old cable station, there was this guy that came in. He was a friend of one of the guys that did a show, and he pretended that he knew all about the equipment. He was like nodding, you know, nodding about stuff and looking at stuff and nodding. Yep. So I pointed out to him that we got a new audio bistuplicator.
Oh.
He goes, oh, that's a good model.
That's a
There's
good
no
one.
No such thing as a bistuplicator. I made that word up in the moment.
Fantastic.
But he was nodding with his approval. You know, that's a good piece of equipment.
Totally fell for it.
Oh, totally. I didn't even tell him that I made it up. It was my own little pleasure that I knew I had confirmation that he was full of it. All right. You know, another thing that pisses me off, this is probably you might have experienced. No, you don't have Facebook, do you?
I used to. I have memories of Facebook. I don't know what it's up to lately, other than I know it's sort of a ghost town for young people.
Well, believe it or not, there's lots of other people in the world that make Facebook like it's super popular still. Right. And that's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is when you're in a Facebook chat with somebody, you know, Facebook Messenger.
I still use that.
Okay. Well, you're in a chat with somebody and they send you a message and you send a reply and you don't hear anything back for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Totally fine with me. I don't expect immediate answers. But then when you go back and check, you see like a half hour later, 45 minutes later, they started putting in responses and saying, are you there? Hello? Are you there? It's like,
what?
You went away for 20 minutes from the screen and didn't respond to me, but you expect me to be sitting here waiting for with bated breath for your next message. And when I don't respond right away, you start panicking and wanting to call 911.
That's why I turn off read receipts. I don't want to know if somebody else has seen a message that I've sent. It just causes too much anxiety because it's like, why aren't they getting back to me? Or you could populate your life with people where it's like, yeah, it's fine. They can get back to me whenever they want. I don't really care.
I don't expect emails to be returned immediately.
Nobody
does. I don't expect Facebook to be returned immediately. No, there are people who expect it to be done, returned immediately. Or they get, I remember one was like, are you ignoring me? It's like, no, I'm living my life. That's what I'm doing. Yeah. Okay. That has the effect of ignoring you, but that wasn't the intent. But now I'm ignoring you.
I'm out at the Jiffy Lube getting fleeced. Leave me alone.
I don't know if I got fleeced. I needed all that work done. I'm going to stand by that because otherwise I won't sleep at night.
Fair enough.
Because you can't go back and ask for a refund. What are they going to do? Put dirty oil back in your car?
Here, can I have that shitty old filter back, please?
Yeah, I'd like the shitty filter back, please. Yeah. All right. So Lady Gaga, this was a big story. Her dog walker was shot, and her dogs were kidnapped. Dognapped, right. I guess.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of news about it because that's a pretty violent thing to have happen, and to have somebody in broad daylight, somebody shoot a dog walker. When you consider careers with high risk, dog walkers not really on them. And maybe it's
generally
should be
not my people.
Dogs bite, you know, maybe, but you don't figure gunshot wound is going to be.
No, those two things are very seldom equated, I don't think.
So the guy got shot, and then they put out a reward for the dogs. And then she got the dogs back. and all the news was about the dogs, and that the dogs were fine. Nobody cared anymore about what happened to the guy who was shot.
Specifically, one of the first articles that I read about it, I have it here in front of me, and it mentions the dog. Like, I did a little like control F on the actual article, and I typed in keyword shot and then keyword dogs, just to kind of get a sense of how much they were talking about the dogs and how much they were talking about the guy who got shot.
Yeah.
There's one reference to the guy getting shot in the entire article. And there's a total of about 8 mentions of the dogs. Like the first two,
Can you imagine you discover that your life is worth less than 2 French bulldogs?
Listen to this. So the first 2 lines, a male suspect fired a semi-automatic handgun dog walker, Ryan Fisher, and then made off with the dogs. The victim was transported to the hospital in unknown condition. That's where it ends. And the rest of the article. So
he's Schrodinger's dog walker. He's both critically injured and not critically injured we find out which one he is.
So they blew past him in the first 2 lines. And then Lady Gaga is offered a reward for her dogs, who they name Koji and Gustav. A 3rd bulldog named Miss Asia ran away and was later recovered by police. And then they go into Gaga herself. They do a little biography. Her real name is Stephanie Germanotta. Is currently in Rome working on a new Ridley Scott film. She's said to be offering $500,000 to anyone who can return the dogs. And then it goes on to, it is not in the next part of the article, it is not known whether Lady Gaga's pets were targeted. This is not an isolated incident involving French bulldogs. French bulldogs are hugely popular this guy's in the hospital
meantime, we don't know if this guy's alive or dead. Is he crippled? Has he been made put in a vegetative state?
Is he going to be in a wheelchair the rest of his life? Who knows? But what I do know is that the breeding costs of French bulldogs can range from $2,000 to $10,000.
Can you imagine having so much money that you can offer $500,000 for the return of your dogs? I don't question the people's love of their pets, but just having the wherewithal to be able to part with $500,000 to get your dogs back, like that kind of money, who can even begin to relate to that kind of money?
I mean, I will give her props. I like her in general.
I like her too.
I will give her props totally for paying all of his medical bills, which obviously I think would be, if she didn't, that would be a big no-no for her PR. But no, she paid all of his medical bills, so. But that's what take one for the team. The question I want to know is he going to stay? How is he?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think he's recovering. This is an earlier.
We don't know. We know all
nobody knows.
The dogs and their condition and how well they're coping. We know nothing about this human being who was walking 3 dogs and got shot. This is where our media is. This is how our media focuses these days on the state of the dogs, but a throwaway line leaving a question mark over the fate of this human being.
Yeah.
Where it is today.
So that was the first article that I saw from 6 days ago when it happened. And then one posted yesterday, again, the first two paragraphs, Ryan Fisher put a thing on Instagram about thing. And he goes, still in recovery from a very close call with death and is humbled and grateful for the outpouring of support since the shooting. He thanked the first responders and said to Lady Gaga, your babies are back and the family is whole. We did it. He cares more about the dogs than himself. He's just trying to keep his job.
I also want to know what we did it is. We got shot and lost the dogs.
I think he got shot and lost the dogs, and she paid $500,000 to get them back.
We did it.
We didn't do anything.
Exactly what part of recovering the dogs did he have? What part did he play from his hospital bed?
It seems like the majority of his involvement was losing the dogs and getting shot.
Well, we did it.
We did it.
Talk about a guy, he's sucking up because he wants to keep his job walking the dogs. I'll bet you that pays a pretty penny.
Oh, wow.
Pay $500,000 to get your dogs back, you're probably paying a high-end dog walker. Can you imagine there's such a thing as a high-end dog walker? This is the world we live in today. This is the world we live in. That dog walker probably makes more than the average family.
Most likely. I mean,
this
why
is the
else
world we live in.
If you got shot in the employ of someone else and then you got, you're fine. And then you want your job so bad. Okay, we did it. You've shown support so much throughout this whole crisis to both my family and I, but your support as a friend, despite your own traumatic loss from your kids, I'm assuming he's talking about the dogs when he says your kids, was unwavering. I love you and thank you. Please don't fire me.
kissing butt. Kissing
yeah,
butt.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
Rather pathetic, isn't it?
I wonder how much he makes. I think he makes that. You think he makes 500? The question is like, she paid 500 grand as a, I guess, an assumed ransom or whatever.
We don't know if she actually paid it out or if they were just returned.
Okay. She'd offered 5,000. I think
she offered. We don't know. Offers. Just like we don't know exactly where the bullet hit this guy and what condition he was in. We don't know. So many unanswered questions that the media has left dangling like a participle.
Yeah.
All right.
It's crazy. It's crazy to me, man. Like, this is a person, not like the dog. And plus, I'm sorry.
I love dogs.
If you love French bulldogs,
about the dogs, tell us more about the human.
Yeah, the dogs are fine. They've been returned. How about the guy who's laying in hospital? But specifically, though, I mean, I have a bit of a beef with French bulldogs. It's like, I've heard
those dogs.
I love them insofar as that they're cute, but I also feel bad for them because they're essentially like lab-born abominations.
Well, they have a lot of health problems.
Well, for a good reason, though. I mean, most of them can't be born.
They're called brachiocephalic, which means they got a flat face, basically.
Are you a vet? You moonlight as a vet? That's fairly
Yes, specific. That's me, Dr. Ed.
Dr. Ed.
Come see me. I have no hands, no arms. I smoke a cigar, but I'll provide quality medical care for your animals. No, I'm not a vet.
Mr. Ed's got nothing
on you.
I played
one on TV.
Doctor.
They're brachiocephalic. Which means they get lots of respiratory problems.
But I heard that they don't reproduce naturally in nature, that most of them are made with test tubes and C-section, and that they're kind of like, that's why they have so many health problems, is because they're sort of not meant to be.
No, but they must be able to be bred. There's no way that they're all made in labs, because they have breeders and things like that, so there's no way they're all made in labs. Well, it's not like they're clones.
I feel sorry for them because they said that like their entire lives, it's like breathing through a straw because they can't breathe through their noses. So they're just, that's me mouth breathing.
But they don't know the difference. So
I guess not.
They don't know they don't know it could be better. Why are we talking about this further? This is ridiculous.
We're onto the dogs.
Look at what we're talking about.
We're no better than they are. Are we?
Yeah. Physician, heal thyself. Oh, well. All right.
Moving on.
Let's move on to the Dr. Seuss controversy.
Oh, boy. Take it away.
Well, there was 6 books that the estate that manages, or the people that manage the Dr. Seuss estate, because strangely enough, for the world's best known children's author, he had no children and apparently didn't like kids. So there's a company that manages his estate, and they decided to cancel the further publication of 6 books. 6 mm-hmm. books that you've probably never heard of. I knew of 2 of them.
I hadn't heard of any of them.
I used to love to think that I saw it on Mulberry Street, but I loved that when I was a very young kid, you know, and I didn't notice the racial overtones, because when you're a kid, you don't really even pick up on that. You just think they're funny characters.
Right.
You don't really pick up on the racial overtones, the stereotyping, the racism. You don't have the context for that. Anyway, they canceled these 6 books, and people are screaming about censorship. It's censorship. It's cancel culture. It's not censorship. People don't understand. Censorship is when the government steps in and interferes with your ability to communicate. That's censorship. A company choosing on its own, even if it's under pressure, choosing on its own to stop publishing something is not censorship. Everybody is so much about this free speech. First of all, in Canada, we have no absolute right to free speech. People watch too many American TV shows and listen to too much crap on the internet, and they think that we have unfettered free speech. We don't. We have free expression, but anything, any action can be abrogated by the state if it's determined that it's harmful to society as a whole. So we don't have unfettered free speech, and people don't understand. Choosing to stop publishing something is not censorship. Like, the Dr. Seuss estate is not censoring anything. they're choosing not to put out books, which, since most people have never heard of them, they probably were crappy sellers to begin with.
Yeah, they're just, if anything, it seems like, hey, we're okay, buy the good ones because we're saying goodbye to the old, the bad ones that didn't sell. So it's more or less a headline for them, right?
Well, it's insurance. What is it?
Yeah, a little bit.
It's insurance, because if they don't, and they keep, first of all, if you look at the cartoons, especially the depictions of black people, of Africans, it's, I can't believe this thing was still published up to this point.
Right.
Like, you look at it, like, how was this even published in the last 50 years? It's, now they don't look human. So if you're a kid looking at it, you wouldn't necessarily think you're looking at depictions of black people, because they're so caricatured that they don't, it looks like they're just more of Dr. Seuss's funny animals and funny creatures. You don't realize that you're looking at something which is horribly, horribly racist. But they realize that by cutting these books on their own, it's a strike in advance, a preemptive strike, so that others don't find these books, start complaining about it, and then hurt the entire Dr. Seuss brand. They'd rather sacrifice these six books nobody's ever really heard of, than sacrifice Cat in the Hat and Green Eggs and Ham.
Which, those ones are all pretty clean, though, right?
Well, there's some people who claim that Cat in the Hat is a minstrel show. And I'm thinking,
is a what?
You know a minstrel? You know what a minstrel show is?
I don't.
Minstrel shows were at the turn of the last century. Like between 19th and 20th century.
Okay. 18 to 1900s.
Well, no, it was 1900, early 1900s. Basically, white people would put black shoe polish on their face.
Oh, okay. No, I know. If you just said blackface, I would have understood.
Yeah. They did, but it wasn't just the makeup. They did minstrel shows. They did like black songs.
It's like vaudeville era type.
Yeah,
stuff?
Vaudeville era.
Okay.
And so people are claiming that Cat in the Hat is a minstrel show. And I'm thinking,
oh, God.
You can read into anything and find something that offends you, but I'm not exactly sure. I mean, Cat in the Hat has whiteface.
Yeah, I was going to say, it seems strange that they would make that leap.
People make such a big deal out of nothing these days. You know,
they're stuck in the house. I got nothing to do.
Mr. Potato Head is now going to be just called Potato Head. And people are upset about it. Why does anybody bother to lose any sleep over whether the potato head toy is gendered or not gendered? All that matters is that you can put the ear where the eye is. You know, that's what matters with potato heads. It doesn't matter if it's Mr., Mrs., non-binary, them potato head. It doesn't matter.
It seems like at the core of it, Mr. Potato Head is whatever you want it to be. And isn't that the whole argument, that freedom to be whatever you want to be?
Except one, Mr. Potato Head comes with a little mustache.
You can put it wherever you want.
But you don't, but the Lady Potato Head doesn't come with a mustache. And I think that they want the ability to have a non-binary potato head that has some female parts stuck into the potato head, as well as a mustache.
Potato head being the operative word here. My God. I don't know. Seems a bit much.
People just, they freak out over nothing. They freak out over nothing. Everybody is so upset about nothing, about zero, things of zero importance to their life, things that have no impact on their life. They're all freaked out. Censorship, Mr. Potato Head. Oh, but you think that they're changing systems of government or something. You think that they're canceling all of our history books. You're taking away tradition. Is Mr. Potato Head really a tradition? Does the gender of this potato, this tuber, really, is that really part of our heritage? I think you're reaching a little bit when you go that far. And when you start complaining that Dr. Seuss books you've probably never read are going to be taken off the market because you're upset that it smacks of censorship or cancel culture. You know, there is such a thing as cancel culture. It's not what people usually think it is.
It doesn't apply to everything always, though.
No, some things are canceled simply because the public loses interest in them, or the public interest is served by removing it.
Yeah, like back in the day, cancel culture was just something that nobody wanted to watch, and it would get canceled.
No, that's TV shows.
Yeah, well, it seems to be all tied up in the media, though, anyway, doesn't it?
It has nothing to do with it. It has nothing to do with TV shows that got canceled. Why am I talking to you? You're obviously very uninformed. All right. Now, Anthony.
Yeah.
You watched both the Britney Spears documentary and the Tiger Woods documentary. And I have to admit, I did not know there was a Tiger Woods documentary.
HBO Max, I guess, through Crave.
I heard about the Woody Allen documentary. I knew about the Britney documentary. Yeah. I knew nothing about a Tiger Woods documentary.
It's a two-parter.
What's a two-parter? The Tiger Woods documentary?
Yeah, there's a two-parter.
They made it two parts?
It was really long. It's two parts.
That's the guy's not that old.
Yeah, but he's been doing his thing since he was like, I think he was on Ed Sullivan when he was like.
No, I don't two. Think he was on Ed Sullivan.
Well, who is, well, maybe not Ed Sullivan, but one of those
Ed
like.
Ed Sullivan was dead before Tiger Woods walked the earth.
So when it would, I don't know if it wasn't Carson, it was maybe Dick
Leno?
Cavett. No, Dick Cavett. I'm talking about as an infant. Like he was on one of these shows, like as an infant, like. That's the first thing you see in this documentary is him with his dad there. And they're on.
I can tell you there's no way that it's Ed Sullivan.
Well, when did Ed Sullivan go off the air?
I think Ed Sullivan died in the early 70s.
Well, it wasn't too far. I don't.
Let's see how old Tiger Woods is.
Let's do it.
Tiger Woods is 45 years old. Born in December 1975. Okay.
So
Ed Sullivan.
Okay, so who would have been who would have been Tiger Woods Ed Sullivan show?
Ed Sullivan show ended in 1971.
Oh, okay. So no. So it would have been okay, so who would have been up against maybe it was on Carson then.
Maybe it could have been Dick Cavett. He's had numerous talk shows over the years. So it could have been Dick Cavett. Was he really boring?
Tiger Woods Carson baby. First appearance. Hold on. He seemed like kind of a. Where is this?
Because Dick Cavett was famous for. But enough about you. When talking to guests, he would talk about himself so much the guest could never get a word in edgewise.
Yeah, I'm trying to find it.
Was it Mike Douglas?
Oh, Bob Hope. I think it was
Bob Hope.
Yeah, maybe he was with Bob Hope.
You're just confusing your dead guys.
I guess so, but they all kind of blend into the same. Kind of
Bob Hope specials were the most bland dad comedy ever. Anyway, this doesn't matter. So,
the Mike Douglas show.
Didn't I just say Mike Douglas?
I thought you said Dick Cavett.
Then I said, are you sure it's not Mike Douglas?
Well, no, I wasn't sure, but now I found out.
Mike Douglas show used to be on afternoons, 5 days a week. It was like a TV institution, and then it was just gone, and they tried to replace him with John Davidson, and that didn't work. And so idea of an afternoon talk show went away.
Tiger Woods appears on the Mike Douglas show at age two and putts against comedian Bob Hope. There it is. So we got a few of them in there. We got Bob Hope. We got Mike Douglas. We got Tiger Woods at 2 years old on the Mike Douglas show. So anyway,
this is what you learned from the documentary.
No, what I learned from the documentary, I didn't really learn much from the documentary, but I will give a shout out to my buddy Craig, who told me, and I agreed with him after I watched it, that his impression was that it was basically made for people who already are looking to kind of tear Tiger down a little bit.
So it's negative. It's a negative depiction of Tiger Woods.
I just don't think it provides any new information and just kind of makes a bit of a.
So what does it focus on? The time he crashed his car?
Well, the
first time he crashed his car?
Because I said it was a two-parter. So the first part is basically his rise to fame, like his rise to his first Masters win. And then the second part, you get. They were basically looking for anybody that they could find to come in. Like his mother was, you know, a lot of his family, like nobody like directly associated with him was there really, except for maybe a couple of the escorts and this other girlfriend that he had, like just kind of like the dregs of people that had surrounded him and the controversy around his life are the ones that showed up.
What do you mean by escorts?
Like escorts.
Like hookers.
Yeah. Like high-end prostitutes, escorts.
That's right. If you charge more than $200 an hour, apparently you're
I don't know where, I don't know how much escorting needs to be. It feels like when you're hiring an escort, you're pretty much staying in one spot for the majority of your time with them. I don't know where they're escorting you to, but
Utopia.
So anyways, the point that I'm trying to make is that I felt that the Tiger Woods documentary didn't really shed any new light. It just exposed in greater detail stuff that we already knew. And it just seemed like more of a celebration of his downfall than a sort of balanced interpretation of his life. And
did they do the entire documentary like a golf broadcast? We're like, and then at 2 years old,
and here he is getting
Tiger Woods. Yeah. Look, here he is with Bob Hope.
Yeah.
And he takes the putt. That's what I want. The whole documentary to be done in golf speak.
Flash forward 35 years. Here he is getting arrested with a hooker.
What I want. That's what I want.
That would have been good, actually. I like that spin on it. But no, it was basically like they had the footage of him, like his roadside like sobriety test, and they showed that, and then they showed him like the footage of him like being taken in for his mug shots, and like it was just kind of like, okay. Then there was video of like a guy from, I think it was either the National Enquirer or TMZ, like hiding in the bushes outside of a church parking lot where he was with one of his many mistresses, I guess. And they were trying to get like, they were trying to get like photos of that, but the photos weren't good enough, so they couldn't run them. And then basically they struck a deal because the National Enquirer owned Men's Fitness magazine. So Tiger agreed if they kept it quiet, he would pose on the cover of Men's Fitness magazine. And then so it's basically just like a deep dive into the darker side of his career, which kind of, it seemed like it was made for people who either don't know anything about Tiger Woods or who are trying to villainize him.
All right, did you watch the second part yet?
Oh, I watched all of it. Yeah.
Oh, so the first part wasn't so boring that you didn't want to watch the second part.
Well, I just wanted to watch
that, like 2 hours at a crack.
It was about two and a half, I think, two or three.
Well, each part.
No, like in total. Like it was like 2 hours, 2.5 hours maybe split up. Like the first half was like 90 minutes and the second half was like 80 something. So, yeah, 2 hours, 2.5 hours, something like that. But it was I don't know. It just seemed like
so far it sounds as boring as watching golf.
At the end of the day, I felt bad for him because like one of the reasons I think it was kind of a perfect storm because he ended up repeating the sins of his father, so to speak, because when he was a little kid, at the golf course, because his dad was a Vietnam veteran and was allowed to play golf on the golf course they had at his like army base or whatever where he trained. Like they had a golf course there, I think. And the funny thing was is that the dad had a Winnebago parked in the parking lot, and that's where him and the head pro of that golf course would teach like really hot blonde chicks lessons there. And then Tiger
lessons
would see,
in golf,
well that no but that they teach him the lesson, like here's, you know, it's all in the hips, here's how to putt, whatever. And then the dad would then they would go for cocktails in the RV he had parked in the parking lot at the golf course. And so Tiger was like witness to this like through all of his formative years. So his dad was just basically whoring around, and the other guy, the other pro there, who these two guys were basically responsible for teaching Tiger everything he knows, concurrently were just whoring around with women the entire time. So that's the example that was set for him, like when he was like from whatever 2 years old until through puberty and up until he became a world champion, you know what I mean? So it's like no wonder after his dad passed away, like he didn't first of all know how to deal with the grief because he had basically
didn't know what to do with the Winnebago.
He didn't know what to do with the Winnebago.
Yeah, because that was just crunchy. That one was, careful
grease.
Where you step.
Just a grease factory.
It's like going to a porn theater. It's like, don't sit on the couch, it crunches.
Leave the black light at home.
Yeah.
But like it, yeah, so
no luminol allowed.
No. So I just felt like, okay, I gained a little bit personally as a fan, like whatever, like I don't know this guy. I'm not in his life. He's entertained me. It's fascinating to see a person of color get that far into the sport and change the sport, especially as far as like white and black is concerned. Cause like, it was like, I think 6 months after Augusta National basically lifted their ban on persons of color being members there. That's like in time for Tiger to come and be the best. You know what I mean? So he had a really positive influence in that direction to kind of expose the levels of racism that sport has and then try to break those boundaries for a lot of people. And that's what I think is important. I don't think it's important that he didn't have the social skills or the psychological development to handle his personal life or to handle it the way he did. And I don't know why we have to put that on display. It's not like you're living next door to him.
That's what people want to see.
Yeah, but that's not...
People don't want to see him putting at 2 years old with Bob Hope on the Mike Douglas show. How much of that can you really watch? People want dirt. They want smut.
Oh, it's a greater comment about human nature, yeah.
If it bleeds, it leads. They want something that they can get down in the dirt with.
Well, so him and Britney both, I guess, eh? Like, after watching that documentary? Did you see that?
I didn't see that documentary. You know what?
The Britney documentary?
Sorry, but after all those years on Much Music, playing her videos, I've seen about as much of Britney Spears as I ever need to see.
Right.
So I understand what this documentary is about.
Of course.
But after having to play Toxic 45 times in a week, I have zero interest in ever seeing Britney Spears on video ever again.
Well, there you go. I mean, you can't argue with that. I didn't obviously have that experience. So I watched it and I have to say, free Britney, whatever.
Wow. Thank you for that review, Rex Reed. Wow, Rex Reed. Now there's an artifact I just pulled up. Somebody carbon date that reference.
Deep dives, I guess. How do you spell that? Like Reed, like
Rex,
like
Rex
Reed's
Reed.
Dairy or Reed, like Reed.
R-E-E-D, Rex Reed. He was like one of the most prominent gossip journalists.
He's still alive. 1938, 82 years old.
He had a cameo in the first Superman movie. It was kind of funny. I'll change it. Thanks for that review, Leonard Maltin. You know who Leonard Maltin is?
Well, I think we talked about him before. Did he precede Siskel and Ebert or was he concurrent?
No, he was concurrent.
Okay. So no, I don't know him as well, but I do know. I remember I used to watch Siskel and Ebert, those two guys, the sort of overweight one. There's like Fatty and Skinny, I called them when I was a little kid.
Oh, how sophisticated you were. All right. clearly you weren't putting on Mike Douglas at 2 years old.
No.
But I'm sure you were a putz at 2 years old.
I was on stage in grade two. I was like the lead in the school play and I did pretty well. It was my first taste of fame and I just haven't given it up since. I am.
What was the play?
It was The Trial of the Big Bad Wolf.
And who were you, the big bad wolf?
I was one of the litigators, but all the characters were animals. So obviously the teacher's being funny. I played a weasel, but I was also a lawyer.
And now you've been typecast. All right, just a few minutes left here. I said earlier I might talk about why I'm pissed off at GoFundMe. There's two kinds of crowdfunding. Well, there's more than two, but there's two I was considering for my new video music channel, Kickstarter and GoFundMe. And GoFundMe reached out to me from their head office just after I mentioned that I was thinking about going with them. They reached out. I had a Zoom call with three people, three senior people. All said that they would help with the fundraising when we get started, which is going to be in a couple of weeks. They were very gracious and very courteous and very solicitous. And so I thought Kickstarter didn't do anything. So I'll go with GoFundMe. The thing is that GoFundMe, Kickstarter allows you to show on the page rewards. So if you give $25, you get X. If you give $50, you get Y. You know, there's incentives for giving certain amounts of money. And that's built in to the platform on Kickstarter. You don't have that on GoFundMe. They don't have any place you can list the rewards. So I thought in a meeting with them that they said that I could post a link on the page to another page that explains what the rewards are. So I told them I would go with them and I made all the plans to go with them. Now they tell me, no, I was wrong. We can't put a link or any mention of rewards on the page. So now I'm kind of stuck because I don't know. Are people willing to give if they don't have incentives? I figure people, if they're just giving to give, they'll give $20 and that's the end of it. But if there's incentives and they see that they can get something for $50, they can get something for $75, that's more of an incentive to give that kind of money. Otherwise, what's your incentive? What's your reason for giving that much? So, but the thing with Kickstarter is it's all or nothing, which means if you don't hit your goal, you wind up making no money whatsoever. Despite the fact people have pledged the money to you, you don't make anything. So you can wind up working really hard to do a Kickstarter and walk away with nothing. Hmm. And that's kind of daunting. So it's like, I don't have either, there's no perfect system here. And now I'm kind of stuck in the middle. Which one do I go with? I'm betwixt and between. I'm between the devil and the deep blue sea.
Mm.
Yeah, I don't know which one to go with. You have any advice for me, Anthony? Or are you just going to sit there making noises?
Well, I was half a brain away here.
That's all you had to start with.
I set you up for that one, didn't I?
Oh, yes, you did.
Thank you. So what I'm
getting
saying,
you back for earlier when you said the thing you said earlier. Yeah,
you're a rube to give those people all your money at the gym.
Yeah,
a rube for a lube. Anyways.
Well, you saved that for the end.
Yes. No, I would go with, you know what? So what? GoFundMe. They sat down with you. They may have said something, but then they have to turn away. But at the end of the day, you get to keep all whatever money you make. I mean, at the end, what do you want? Money or no money? Like, I would go with money.
But who knows that I could make my limit or my goal on Kickstarter too. I don't know. All right.
Well, then
you know what?
You can't. Well, couldn't you just, if you start a GoFundMe and you have some people give, at least you get to keep that. But if you start a Kickstarter and you're $5 off, you don't get to keep any of it. So it's like,
well,
no
you're
matter
five
what,
bucks off, you get your parents to throw in $5.
Okay. But you see what I'm saying though. I mean, if.
All right. You know, here's what we're going to do.
Okay.
I want to hear from the audience what they think I should do.
Yeah.
What would they
give? That's a much better idea.
Because you offered nothing of value.
I couldn't even get to the end of the
what
thought.
Do you think I should do? Would you give more money when you can see an incentive, or would you give the same amount of money no matter if there was an incentive or not an incentive?
Hey,
Email me at ed@funetwork.tv. ed@funetwork.tv, funetwork.tv.
Can you launch a poll?
I already did that online. I'm not going to launch a poll. I just want to hear people's email responses.
Okay.
All right. So
make sure to email us and email us your questions and comments in general. We'd love to hear from you guys.
People always say that, but it isn't always true. All right. Anthony Howell, thank you for joining me on this journey into mediocrity.
Always a pleasure.
And thank you guys for listening. This has been Ed the Sock Lives. Ed the Sock Lives.